I'm excited about the opportunity to be able to speak what God has at my heart to the church that's at my heart, TRC. And I want to thank all my friends who've come out to support me, and Chad, Rashawn, and my brother. I keep forgetting my brother's name. Daryl, I'm sorry. I know him, but I'm not good with names. But Brother Daryl, you forgive me. But thank you for supporting me. And I am just excited about this opportunity because I truly believe God has something special for us. And as I was studying out this word that God had given me, I was really, really elated, but yet kind of frustrated. Let me explain that. I was excited about it, but then it started cutting at me. You know, okay, wait, it's for the people, Lord. And God said, it's inclusive. It's for you too. So I want to let you all know I'm the first partaker of this word. And it has challenged me. Challenged me to be different, to think different, even to act different. So I know that that's what this word is. And you, have you ever, like, heard someone say that they was in a difficult situation or they had a disease or a sickness and they were at their wit's end and they felt like you had an answer or some solution to some relief? And they would tell you, I would do whatever it takes to get that relief or to be made whole. Only to find out that when you gave them the solution, they wasn't so willing to do whatever it took. In your mind's eye, you'll say, well, they really wasn't serious. They didn't mean it. But let me tell you what they're really saying. What they really meant is this. I'm willing to do whatever it takes as long as it meets my conditions. As long as I can understand that it's not going to hurt me as bad, as long as I know the outcome going in, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. That's an oxymoron. You're not willing to do whatever it takes. You're willing to do whatever you want to do. Am I right? Well, there's a scripture here that come to mind and come to heart that we're going to talk about today. And in 2 Kings 5, it's about the story of Naaman. It clearly depicts the picture that I'm painting about doing whatever it takes. And I truly believe that it will speak to our lives in every aspect just by looking at it from Naaman's point of view. Now, we're not trying to bash Naaman. The scripture says it's written aforetime for our learning. This is not to look on Naaman, because at the end of the story, Naaman got it right. We're still working to get it right. Amen? Today I'm going to do it a little differently. I have quite a bit of scriptures to read, so I'm going to have my wife to read the scriptures, and as she reads, and then I will expound upon them. It's a little different, but that's me. I'm different. So we're going to go that route, and as the Lord's will, we'll dig into that. So I'm going to have Tangela to read the first verse, and then we'll go into what God has to say. Amen? 2 Kings 5, first verse.
Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper.
Okay. Here we see that Naaman was a mighty man of battle, a man of valor, a great man, well thought of, but he had a problem. And his problem was he was a leper. If you look at this portion of it, it doesn't depict how long he was a leper, but to say that the Lord was with him in battle. Saints, he was not the chosen of Israel, but the Lord was with him in battle. Sometimes we need to understand that just because you're having victories in life doesn't mean that God is with you in everything. And doesn't mean that you're in perfect line with God. you still have a need. As she read, it said all those great things, and then it says, but he was a leper. Here's the definition of leprosy: a chronic disease caused by a bacillus and characterized by the formation of nodules or of modules that enlarge and spread, accompanied by loss of sensation, with eventual paralysis, wasting of muscle, and production of deformities and mutilations. Give you a picture of that. That don't look really good. That's nasty looking. That's what he looked like. Yet God was with him in battle. Yet the people viewed him as a mighty man. Not only that, the second part of that definition is a morally or spiritually harmful influence. Okay, this is where I want to talk. Because see, we all look good on the outside. But are you a leper? Not from the first definition. The second one: a morally, spiritually harmful influence. That's what that means. So, my question to one that is in that state: what are you willing to do to be made whole? What are you willing to do to be delivered from being a leper? Well, here we're going to see that Naaman, if you look at it, seems like he was willing to have greatness in man's eye and still be a leper. But as we read on, we're going to see a little difference here. Read verses 2-4, please.
And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.
Okay, now here we see Naaman had a problem, and if the people from the outside looking in would have thought he was fine with. Sometimes in life we walk around, and from the people's view, it looked like we're fine. We're okay. But when Naaman heard that he could be healed or made whole, he acted upon it. Now, how did he act upon it? He listened to his wife. Men, he listened to his wife. There's a rhema word in your wife. Don't get quiet. Don't sit down on me. She may not always be right, but this wife at this time was right. But here's the deal from that. He not only listened to his wife, he listened to the servant of his wife, who was a female. See, the scripture declares, despise not the day of small things. And that little servant was a small thing. And what here is, lets you know that he was so serious about being made whole, he presented it to the king. Naaman, he went in and he took it to the king and presented it to him. And he listened to them. If you're willing to be made whole, you can't allow fear, doubt, unbelief, and here's the big one, pride, stop you from being made whole. Was there any guarantee that Naaman was going to be made whole just from what you read? No, there was no guarantee. But because he wanted to be made whole, he was willing to take the risk of not knowing and giving it a try. When you have fear as we talked about this morning, in your life, fear will cripple you and hold you back from what God wants to do in your life. Fear will also allow you to be used to hold someone else back from being what they can be in life. Doubt, because you can't believe in yourself, subsequently, you can't believe in someone else. If I can't get it done, surely they can't get it done. See, that's how it comes. And not only that, then with pride. Pride says, I don't want them to be better than me because I'm not comfortable with me. And yes, church, it's in the church. Fear, doubt, unbelief, and pride. It's in the church. My question again is, what are you willing to do to be made whole? Are you willing to let go of your pride and push someone else up? Are you willing to let go of the fear that you are somebody in Christ Jesus, and when the Holy Spirit prompts you to speak a word to someone that you hold in high esteem, you speak it? What are you willing to do? So we see in those verses there that he was very serious about it. And not only that, when Naaman was told that, he didn't have an attitude of, who are you telling Naaman what he need? He didn't have that kind of attitude. And we're talking about a guy that is not in a household of faith. We're talking about a guy that wasn't raised to know God. Yet, he had the right attitude. He had the right ingredients to be made whole. As for now, we see that. Do you have the right ingredients? Do you have the right attitude? Can someone really tell you that you're off? Can someone tell you that you have the wrong spirit? See, he never argued with them about being a leper. He would have looked foolish, wouldn't he? I just wonder how I look when I'm trying to tell y'all I'm not something that you see. I wonder how I look. Now take that eye for yourself and you do that. How would I look if someone is trying to tell a leper he's a leper and he's saying he's not? How do I look if someone's trying to say, I think your influence on that person is not really good? And say, well, how do you say? Well, it just seems like out of that influence that you have, most of the conversation is gossip. Most of the conversation is how great you all are as opposed to how great they are. That's the result of it. So, yeah, you might have a harmful influence on someone. Are the people that come into your life and in and out of your life, do they leave inspired or dejected? Or do they leave with the same mindset as you? They'd rather stay there and be mediocre. You have to determine that. You have to make a difference in that and say, okay, maybe my influence is that of a leper. It's harmful. Or your influence can be in the right way. But you got to decide what that is. And can someone tell you that? And there's another thing I need to address while I'm there is this. Just because someone tells you what you are because someone else said it, don't change the fact that it's not right. If someone tells me that I'm arrogant and they heard it from someone else, and because they're close to me, they come tell me and say, man, you're arrogant, and I know they got it from somewhere else, I'm still arrogant. What am I mad about? Well, that didn't come from the Lord. Now, the Lord can use someone to drop $100 in your hand that you don't even know. And you go on and say it was a blessing from the Lord. Don't even know them. Don't even know their character. And they say, the Holy Spirit say, put this in your hand. And you will walk off with that? Well, I would. I would. Thank you, Jesus. Right? But what about when there's a stern word that comes from someone you don't know? You don't recognize and you don't know their history and you don't know their background. Or maybe you do know and they don't live like they should. But what is their saying? Is it right? their lives doesn't constitute to you your deliverance. If that be the case, we can speak to no one and speak into nobody's lives and keep all our money in our pockets and bless no one. If that's the attitude we're going to take. And Naaman clearly did not have that attitude. Verses 5 and 6, she's going to read, and we're going to go in to see what that looks like.
And the king of Syria said, "Go to, go. I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy."
Here we see that there had to be an exchange for God to do something in Naaman's life. And them that were not a people of God understood that. Now, we just had an offering taken up. And I don't know how many viewed that as an exchange. Or did you view it as, "Now you owe me, Lord"? You know, sometimes people do things for you to put you in a situation the way you owe me one. See, that's not Christ-like. The Bible tells us to give and expect nothing in return. "But I gave to them and they don't never seem to do anything for me." Did you not realize he made you a lender and not a borrower, and you upset about that? I mean, it's so funny how we get so wrapped up in ourselves that we miss what God is really trying to say. He made you a lender and you've been praying about that. "Enlarge my territory." Well, it can only be so large, you're going to have to give it to someone. And then when you give it, you get it back in return. But because it didn't come from who I gave it to, I got a problem with you. "Brother Sean, I got a problem with you. You're not giving back to me what I get. I want it from you." See the word, I want it? We're going to deal with that in a moment about what I want. But see, there had to be an exchange. And these people knew that before going to the man of God to hear from God, that they had to take something. And therein lies, I understand. Let's be honest about it. I understand the prosperity message and, you know, name it and claim it and all. But the Bible does say, "Speak those things as be not as though they were." Which one we going to do? You know, and what happens is we're so busy fighting amongst that the saints that really need to hear from God miss out. Jesus said this when the disciples came up to him. "There are others doing healings and things, and they're doing this in your name. Let's go stop them." Jesus said, "Oh, he that's not against me is for me. Leave them alone." What I'm saying is, I'm not going to kick against whatever's working for them. But I need to get into what's working for me. And what's going to work for me is I call those things as be not as though they were. If I'm in lack, I got to speak. I'm no longer in need. And then I got to act upon it. It's like this. You get a Gatorade bottle. The commercial tell you. What it say? Thirst quencher. You've never drank it. But boy, you get thirsty when that commercial come on. What do? Because now it unimparted into you. You go to the store. And I'm going to tell you, most athletes, we do that. You know, if it's working for, what it got, Cam Newton, EJ, you know that. If it's working for Cam Newton, it's going to work for me. Cam, he got a little chewing thing. He wants another chew, now he wants a little Gatorade chew bar. You know what I'm talking about? But here's the deal. He believe it, will quench his thirst. He go to the store, he buys it. What does he do with his belief? He opens the top and he drinks it. Who told him it would quench his thirst? The commercial did. If he didn't believe it, he never would have bought the bottle. And if he really didn't believe it, he would have bought the bottle and just let it sit in the fridge. But he believed it. He bought the bottle, took it out the fridge, opened it, and he drank it. And what did it do? Quench his thirst. What am I saying? It's the same way with the word of God. You can't just believe. and look at the commercial and then turn the TV off and go sit down and die of thirst. You got to believe, and then you will act upon it. You'll go to the house of God, which is the store, or even in your home, read the word of God and drink it. And you will find out that it will quench your thirst. Y'all follow me? So he believed it, he acted upon it, and then he did what he's supposed to do, and that is prepare for an exchange from God. Are you prepared to exchange? Do you give in exchange? Or do you give with you owe me one? That's something to think about, because God owes no one. We give in exchange. None of you owe me anything. I owe you, because I'm called to be a servant leader. So I owe you my service. And in return, God takes care of me. If I don't believe it, I would not be up here today. If I didn't believe it, I'd be at the house getting some sleep. But I believe it. And the reason why, you know, I believe it, because I'm acting upon it. I'm drinking from the bottle. I'm opening the bottle. And I don't care what it costs. I'm going to go buy it. He will give me sufficient need or finance to go get it. God, when you're acting upon him, he will prepare you for what you need. And they got it. They put it together. Now, read verses 7 and 8.
And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elijah the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.
Wow. That's a big misunderstanding, isn't it? Why was it such a big misunderstanding? Because they didn't go to the right man. Listen, most people in life are confused because they have the wrong source of counsel. Most people come into where they are is because they listened to the wrong person. They didn't consider the source. And this source was telling them, I'm not the one. I'm not the one. Who is you? I can't kill and make alive. And yet, wait a minute. This must be a plot for a war. And if they would have stood with the king, guess what would have happened? Those countries would have been at war. But there was a man of God who was confident enough. See, we got to deal with that because, you know, me and my brother Christian was talking. And we was talking about leaders and what we could become as leaders. And as we were conversing, we come to find out that there's a lot of false teachers out there. But when we come to the conclusion of the matter, we're not. Who is going to cry out? Who's going to stand up and say, whether there be false prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, or not, I'm willing to be real. And he didn't come off as being arrogant. He knew God was going to prove that he was a prophet. Now, no one wants titles today, in today's time, because of what we see out there. You know, how people say they're a prophet and they take all your money and, you know, all that good stuff. And we see all that. But we see false advertisement on TV. We see folk taking millions of dollars of folk out of their retirement. You still, I don't know about some of you, but you're still giving to a retirement. Or do you? Because of that? I think not. You still giving into retirement, although it can be taken away from you. However, when it comes to the church, and because of the word going to make you line up, he says he's a prophet. We done with that. Don't want to deal with that. But now you still giving to your 401k. And they robbing folk with that money that you putting in. And in some cases, the 401k is just as much as the tithe. Some do more. Oh, Lord, thank you for that one. Yeah, some do more. Some will give 15% towards their future. Isn't that something? But they won't give 10 towards eternity. sad. But that's the mindset. And so we see here, there's a misunderstanding because they went to the wrong man. But there was someone willing to stand up, like me and Christian was talking about. We're willing to stand up. We're willing to be the men of our home. We're willing to be the head of our house. We're willing to be that Christian that's going to walk into your life and speak it according to Scripture and be transparent as we are to the Scripture. None of this is for you and not me. It's time out for that. And we have said we will be that in today's time. Now, we're not saying we're prophets, so that's on record there. We're not saying that, you know, because there's still a little issue with that. However, I disagree. That's not on tape, is it? Okay. All right. Let's look at verses 9 through 12. Is everybody with me? I want to make sure we're going along. Okay, 9 through 12.
So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage.
Before you start picking at him and saying, oh my God, I can't believe. You got to understand, Naaman don't get the end of the story like we do. Naaman has to walk that out. So do you. You're writing the life, you're writing the story too. So someone may look at your life and say, man, I can't believe they did that. And you believe what Naaman did here? I mean, my goodness. First off, Naaman shows up at the door with his entourage. Oh, great Naaman. And he's thinking in his mind, he's equal to the man of God. Oh, yeah. Sometimes we think that too as people. I'm a Christian too, but he's the leader. Hello? Respect the position if you can't respect the man. But I'm equal. I hear from God just like he do. Then why are you in so much trouble? Are you mishearing? Or I would say maybe he wants you to go through what you're going through then, if you're hearing him and obey. But see, God has things in order so that we can stay in line. So Naaman shows up with his entourage. And guess what happens? The man of God doesn't even let him in the house, let alone meet him face to face. You're talking about a great man now. I don't travel a long way. And you can't even meet me to the face? You know, we do all that, what's that, texting deal I'm trying to pick up on. And if you text somebody, the word is, see, I'm late on this, so y'all already know. The word is if they text you, they don't really want to talk to you face to face. Isn't that right? Is that? I'm just saying, I mean, that's what I hear. Now, y'all going to have to educate me on that, you know, because I'm a face-to-face guy. I'm not a phone guy. I'm not a phone guy. We're talking on the phone. And now, if you get me to talking about the Lord, we're going to be there a while. But if we just talking, I'm just not a phone guy. And a text deal, I just can't, you know, it's just too much. So let's just meet. Because what I like to do is look you in the eyes. And then your body going to tell me what you can't control. When I'm telling you truth, you think you can control your body, but you can't. And I have very perceptive eyes, and I can see when I'm talking. You might not say you squirming, but you squirming. And I know you're squirming. So I like to talk face to face. So Naaman had that kind of mindset. See, you know, he's a man of war, man of battle. He's a wise man. He want to see the man of God face to face. Hey, because I can look in his eyes, and what he tell me, then I'll know it was from God. You know, but hey, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Oh, we can quote that. But we just quote it. Because when his ways are not our ways, this is the response. So Naaman, he comes to the house, and the man of God not only not meet him face to face, he sends out a messenger. Are you serious? He sends out Gehazi. to meet this great man with his entourage. Pastor's not available, and he sends Christian. Well, he don't have the same anointing as the pastor. Well, yeah. Who is this? What do you, don't tell me, you can't talk to me. I said I want to talk to the pastor because it's his job. Do y'all not know what you're speaking on to the pastor? A job. This is not a job. It's a calling. And with a job, you get fired. With a calling, you get rejected by God, not man. And so when you say it's his job, then you have just demoted him in position in relation to your life. So if he speak to you as a job, now you're mad because now you're getting job type like results. Like, I only got 10 minutes to meet with you. I only got 15 minutes. You don't want that. It's your calling. So guess what? I'm calling. Y'all missed that. Praise the Lord. So now we see here that that Naaman gets upset for several reasons. When we get to the bottom of it, Elijah wasn't a leper just for the sake of it. His real problem was pride. As he didn't understand how God would do, he had an issue. And we find out that the source of it all was pride. Isn't it amazing how God would take a man that he was with in battle, have him listen to a servant, then go to a country and argue with the king, and then have the prophet to hear so that he can come to the conclusion that it's pride. You know, in my mind's eye, God, why don't you just tell the man he's prideful and be done with it? See, here's the deal. Until you recognize your state, you'll never be willing to open up to change. Tell a child not to touch something that's hot. 9 times out of 10, what they do? Tell a Christian that they have arrogance and pride, and they'll show it. You think I got pride? I'll show you what pride is. Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers and spiritual wickedness in high places. What that is that I'm not battling that brother. It's a spirit. And that spirit invokes that person to say, I'm going to really show you. And then my spirit say, come on, because I got the greater one on the inside. And you will be broken. You will not intimidate me. You will not hinder me from being the man of God that I'm called to be. And you should be the same way too. I will not allow anyone to demote me in God because they don't agree what God is doing in my life. I will not allow it. And watch God pull you over the top. Here's some of the reasons. Elijah didn't recognize Naaman as a great man. 2, Elijah didn't come to meet him face to face. 3, it wasn't the way Naaman thought that God should heal him or make him whole. What did he say? Now, how is it that we go to God for something and then we tell him what the plan is? We go to God and say, God, I don't know. Then when we get over there and he starts listening, he say, now this is how it should work out for me. Which one is it? So Naaman goes over, and the man of God sends a messenger, and he comes out of his mouth and say it. Y'all read it. I would have thought that the man of God would wave his hands over me, and I would have been whole. What Naaman failed to realize, because he didn't read the book, is that our ways are not his ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts, and he is God, and he's going to do it the way he wants to. The question to Naaman is, what are you willing to do to be made whole? So he didn't do it in a way that he wanted him to do, but he had an idea of how it should go. I mean, I am a victim of that quite a bit, more than I care to mention, about how I think God should go. And especially, see, I'm aware too, saints. I'm aware when God's moving in the spirit that some people don't recognize that he's moving in the spirit. And I'm aware of the fact that some people do move in the spirit And that's not the Spirit of God. I'm aware of that. And because I'm aware of it, I don't move in the Spirit like I should. So I said, God, wait, what you're going to have to do is, my brother Chad, he's going to have to call me and tell me what my dream was in order for me to speak to him about what the Lord had for me to talk to him. It got to be a door. You know, like witnessing. What they teach in witnessing is, wait for the door to open and then you come in. Last time I checked, when I was a sinner, my door stayed closed. I mean, you know, it's been quite a while back, but my door was closed. So if you were going to come, you're going to have to come in the name of the Lord and let God use you. But we teach there's got to be an opening and a crack. The opening is this, then I save, and your spirit already knows that. Then deal with that. Let's go to verses 13 and 14.
And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean.
It is always good to have people in your life who have your best interests at heart. Your best interests at their heart. It's always good to have people like that in your life. Not people who are with you for what you can give them out of your life. See, you know, a lot of people came to Jesus for the fishes and the loaves. And some of them, well, all of them, left their full. But their spirit was still disconnected. Just because you get your blessing from God doesn't mean that you've been made whole. If you have the wrong motives about what you want God to do, I'm going to tell you, you can't hide them. He already knows. May as well just come clean. And Naaman had some people with him that was willing to tell him that he was prideful in a nice way. See, they did it in love. If you would do some great thing, Naaman, would you not have done it? Because Naaman would have been at the forefront of it. And Naaman would have got the credit of, I went to the man of God and he did it the way I wanted and I'm whole. Yet the man got angry at what he said and said, wait a minute. He started judging the man of God. Isn't the rivers of Abana and Pharpar cleaner? And he want me to get in that dirty river? Are you serious? You know, sometimes the saints, you know, we're not willing to get dirty. Let me show you what getting dirty look like. I ain't witnessing them. I'm in the store. Oh, no, I ain't talking to them. They look funny. Not willing to get dirty. Are you serious? I'm trying to enjoy my moment in life. I mean, I don't want to bother anybody. Not willing to get dirty. You see, sometimes you got to get dirty. Because when you get dirty, the healing is in that. Being made whole is in getting dirty. I love witnessing to people who don't know God. Because see, you can talk to them and have them to dip seven times. But to the saints that has a spirit of error, they ain't going to get in that river, no matter what you say. And guess what? Naaman wasn't going to get in that river. He still was a leper. Sad. He heard the word of God, was told what to do to get the results he was looking for, and got mad and walked away, still a leper. Are you still that leper? Have you gotten mad with God and then walked away? I got good news for you. Even though he was mad, when he listened to the servant, the healing was still in the obedience. What am I saying? You might be mad and unwalked away, But just go back and obey and do what God told you to do, and you will too come up clean. Just go back and do what he told you to do. Because I'm going to tell you, the man of God wasn't worried and chased him down to say, did you not hear? I just told you I'm a man of God. Didn't you just do? He never left the house. The prophet of God never left chasing after Naaman. And we get upset because pastor didn't grab our coattail and told us, please stop, you know, doing what you're doing. He must not care. The word was already spoken. You got to act on it. Remember, you got to drink the Gatorade. If you're thirsty, you got to drink it. And Naaman was willing to listen to them. And when he did, he was made whole. Now you say, Ernest, how does that apply to my life? How can I do that? I've learned to use an acronym called ICE. I went to Pennsylvania for some AIB training, and it just dawned on me. They use this acronym called ICE. Identify, control, and eliminate. How did Naaman do that? He identified that there was a problem. But the problem wasn't the leprosy. It was his pride. See, sometimes when you open the door for God to work in your life, he doesn't take you to the complete source because you're not willing to take all that in. He'll take you to the part to get you to the source. And he realized, he identified that he had pride. Well, you control it. What can I do now? Naaman was willing to go to the man of God, not knowing who he was, not knowing what he could do. He moved and acted on that. How do I eliminate this? In the AIB, there's a written procedure so that it'll never happen again, that everybody can go by. What is that written procedure? For us, the Word of God. You don't have to walk in the way that you've been walking if you follow the procedures that's already been written. That's how you eliminate the problem. So that's how you can walk in that light. You can ice it. You can identify it. You can control it. And then you eliminate it so that you never have to be a leper again. And in closing, here's what I want you to know. Although Naaman, a mighty man in battle and victorious in war, he had a problem and he was seemingly willing to live with it. But Naaman heard that he could be made whole, and thus he was willing to do whatever it took to be made whole. What's your problem? What's your disease? What's your sickness? What's holding you back? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to be made whole? Or are you willing to live a life of mediocrity? Are you willing to just be mediocre? That's average at best. A mediocre life is average at best. I really hope you can understand what I'm saying. God has not called you to be average at best. He's called you to be his very best. So my question is, why are you settling? Why are you settling for a relationship with someone physically, like in my marriage, that pales in comparison to the relationship with God? At best, in my flesh, I'm mediocre to her. And if Tangela, God forbid, try to lean on Ernest Jackson to make her become who she thinks she can be, average at best. But if she leans on the arm of God, When I'm at work, she's praying. When the kids are gone, she's praying for them. Tangela will be God's very best. See, you got to develop a relationship with God where you are comfortable with being alone with God. That's where you got to get to. You can't become complacent. Complacency means this: self-satisfaction, accompanied by an unawareness of actual dangers around. Here's the analogy of that. I'm in the middle of a road where traffic comes through. And traffic goes this way. And I'm standing in the middle of the road because I've stood there a whole lot and I've never been hit. But on this particular day, I'm standing in the road and a car is coming. And because I become complacent, I'm not aware of that danger that's around me. Saints, I'm here to tell you, don't become complacent with your relationship with God. Because who's ever out in them streets right now, I can open the doors and see them, but they'll never hear me calling. They'll never be able to even look this way. If I'm making motions and they look this way, they'll look at me like I'm crazy. And a car come take them out. That's what complacency looks like. I'm here to tell you, there's an enemy after your soul. And if you're in the roads of life and you are far off from God, and when a man of God or a woman of God come in your life waving frantically, you ain't got time to look at them like they're crazy. You need to get out the road. You need to get out the road and get into the comfort of God. Get out of the traffic. Don't you allow yourself to be hit by a car that you've never seen. What are you willing to do to be made whole? I usually have an altar call. Like I told you, I'm different. And I'm not doing this because I don't want to embarrass anyone. I'm just going to make it plain. I don't do that. I look to embarrass. Because when I got embarrassed about my life with God, it looked like, Christian, come here for a minute, brother. This is what it looked like. I want you to walk that way. Now I'm behind Christian. That's my life. Look crazy. Didn't even know what state he was in. See, when I look back and you see me gyrating and all, see, he's turning a little red. He's embarrassed. But all he has to do is say, stop. Simple as that. And he no longer has to walk around being embarrassed. He can walk around like the man of God that he is. He can walk around and say, stop, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I will no longer let you agitate me and frustrate me. I'll no longer let you make me believe that I'm not the man of God or the woman of God. You have that power, and I decree it unto you even now in the name of Jesus. You have that authority to say stop. Stand to your feet. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus for what you are doing at the Rock Church. I thank you, Lord God, that you have shown us today our ways. And our ways are not like yours, and our thoughts are not like yours. But today, Lord, we will have what we call an epoch moment. We will no longer be the same walking out of here today than we was yesterday. We are now newly created and restored by you and your spirit. Now, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that this word will not fall on top soil, that it will go into the ground and die and come up as trees in our lives. Let this word, oh God, take root into your people even now. Let it challenge them in the way they think, of themselves to be who you have called them to be. I pray it and I believe it, and now I am drinking from that Gatorade bottle. I'm applying it to my life even as we speak now, Lord God. And I pray that they will see that vision of drinking from that bottle. It's time out to know and heard and hear and all those things about it may quench my thirst. I'm going to drink from it. And today, Lord, we will drink from your word. We will no longer be the same. In your son Jesus' name. Amen. As we dismiss, I always like to say, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless with exceeding joy, to the wise glory, power, and dominion of God forever. Amen. Go and be blessed.